Radio Ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Howdy! Good morning to you, Brevard County. We're glad that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Our worship leader at church, her name is Heidi. And so my greeting for her is almost howdy, Heidi. And she is not a country person by any stretch of the imagination. But howdy, Heidi just seems to go well along in that situation. So I hope you're having a great Wednesday here, planning on having a great Wednesday. And we want to invite you out to our services tonight. Now, tonight I'm not going to be in the adult service because tonight is the last night of our youth leader being our youth leader. And that has been my daughter for a number of years. She has done an absolutely phenomenal job. Doesn't get any compensation for it just because she loves kids. She literally resurrected the youth group and built it up. And then we had another youth pastor that was there for about a year and a half or so. And then when they left, she picked it up and she has been ministering to those kids ever since then. So she's done it for probably 4 or 5 years combined. And what's extra special about that is she grew up in the youth group. And about the time she got to high school, we had a major seismic shift where our congregation scattered across the country. And we went from having a healthy, vibrant youth group to not having much of a youth group at all. And she has come so far. And so you hear her voice on the radio, and she's our greeting and closing voice, and we truly appreciate her. She's been our technology expert, our Facebook coordinator. She works on the worship team. She's been on missions trips. She's filled in for preaching. Does our Facebook announcements and all of that. And she is getting ready to get married and is going to be the women's ministry director at the church that she is going to be attending, where her husband-to-be is already the youth pastor of that church. And so we know that God's got great things in store for them. But we're going to have a send-off for her tonight from the youth group, and just love on her after she's been loving on those kids for all these years. So I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air as well. Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales, service, and repairs for electrical problems, heating problems, air conditioning, and they've been doing all of that for over 40 years. They work in residential settings, commercial settings, and also provide emergency service whenever necessary. And they will strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call at 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H, 321-632-9538. And tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. That is always appreciated. Today we're going to return to the book of Ezra. We were in the book of Ezra earlier in our series here on Seeking the Lord. We were in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, where it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Today we're going to drop back to chapter 6 and see what all was going on there, because there was seeking that went on. There were things that took place in the Israeli people, the Hebrew people, as they were seeking God, that will give us a great deal of understanding of what seeking God looks like, okay? So you prepare your heart, you set your heart, you seek him early, you apply yourself, you make the provisions, you seek him by your spirit, not just by your intellect. We've talked about seeking him early, seeking him daily, seeking him while we're young. Now we're going to look at this in Ezra chapter 6 and verse number 19, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, which is verse number 22. It says, "And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and Levites had purified themselves, all of them were ritually clean. And they slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Then the children of Israel, who had returned from the captivity, ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." If you were to go back up into the beginning of chapter 6, you would find that King Darius had made a search in the archives to find out what the will of the kings had been towards the people of Israel, those who were going to be living at Jerusalem. And he found out that Cyrus had in actuality issued that decree, had ordered that there would be financial provision, that there would be material provision, that everything, there wasn't supposed to be anything at all that hindered the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the restoration of the temple. So Nehemiah focused on the rebuilding of the walls, Zerubbabel focused on the rebuilding of the temple, and Ezra focused on rebuilding the worship that was due God. And so they realized that there was that provision that had been made, that decree that had gone forth. And so Darius rejected the appeal of those who did not want the temple to be rebuilt. And so up in verse number 15, it says, "Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the descendants of the captivity celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. And they offered sacrifices at the dedication of this house of God, 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. They assigned the priests to their divisions and the Levites to their divisions over the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses." So the temple is rebuilt, the worship is being restored, and what we read is something that takes place during this celebration of Passover, but it is talking about something that had taken place in the hearts of the people before this stage had been reached. So in verse number 21, it says, "Then the children of Israel who had returned from the captivity ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel." Now, I want you to know there are some horrific things that take place in the world, and those sorts of things are not supposed to be found in the house of God. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, you will find that Ezekiel had visions from God of disgusting, deplorable things that were taking place in the temple while the children of Israel were in captivity. It was not holy and it was not right. And so whenever they go to celebrate the Passover, the Levites had to be ritually clean, the priests had to be ritually clean, and the people were supposed to sanctify themselves. and they set themselves apart from the things that were displeasing in God's sight so that they could seek the Lord. See, you and I, if we're going to seek the Lord, we're going to have to sanctify ourselves. That's a big fancy religious word, and it means basically to set yourself apart to the holy purpose of God. You separate yourselves from unclean things. You separate yourselves from distracting things. You separate yourselves from the things that would prevent you from accomplishing the task, and that was that we seek the Lord God of Israel. We need to be seeking Jesus. Now, I will tell you that I've always tried to stay focused on everything that I am charged to do, that I have a burden to do, as far as the teaching here on the program and the preaching of the word and leading the congregation. Always done that, but over the past several months, I have made some financial decisions that I said, okay, we are no longer going to have this in our house. And it's not a dictatorial thing. It is, look, we're not going to be distracted. So I was raised in a sportaholic family. Not an alcoholic, a sportaholic. You know, when I told my wife when we got married, I said it's probably a good thing that we don't have cable in our house, because I could be addicted to sports. I could watch the reruns of the 1957 Tiddlywink Championships if that was the only thing that was on television. Okay? But with everything that has gone on in the sporting world, I decided, you know what? I don't need to watch that. I don't have to watch that. So I played baseball. I liked to watch baseball. My wife and I, one of our early dates, we went to watch an NBA basketball game. I don't know. Well, I guess in college I watched some college basketball, but I've never been to a high-profile college basketball game. So I watched that at March Madness and stuff like that. But I'm not watching that anymore. I don't watch the NBA. I don't watch any of the major sports. We did have a group of us that sat down and watched the Super Bowl, and in all honesty, if it wasn't for the fact that there was a group of men there, I probably would have changed the channel because of the commercials that were on there. I am not only a sportaholic, I am also a newsaholic. I'm a news junkie. And I said, you know what? I just can't stomach the news anymore. I just can't. And so we got rid of our it wasn't a satellite provider. It wasn't cable. We had a subscription television service, let's put it that way. And we had a bunch of channels, and we only watched about 7 or 8 channels. Would watch HGTV. We would watch a news channel. But that was pretty much it. And we'd watch some sports when we had that. But I said, you know what? I don't want to be distracted by the news anymore. I can find out the news a different way. I do know of a story of a person that went to visit Smith Wigglesworth when they were younger. Smith Wigglesworth would have been older than they were, and they knocked on the door, and on their way over there, they said, you know what? I think I will take a newspaper to Smith Wigglesworth. And so they knocked on the door, and he answered the door. And the person said, hello. And, you know, I was wanting to know if I could come by and talk to you. And he said that the reply from Smith Wigglesworth was this: you can come in, but that newspaper's got to stay out. Now, I tell you about the things that I am separating myself from, because I will tell you what the feedback is that I've had at church. They said, Pastor, your preaching has always been good, but ever since you got rid of the things that were, you know, the sports and the news and all of that sort of stuff, said your preaching has gotten a lot better. And so praise God for better. I will tell you this, that whenever the Holy Spirit puts his finger, and nobody told me I had to do that. Nobody compelled me as far as, a human being. It was just a quickening in my spirit. And there were some things that we left in place for a while, until my wife said, you know, I don't think I want this additional thing going on. And so we got rid of that. And now what we do is whenever we're watching the television through a streaming service, we're watching praise and worship. We're watching preaching. And I will tell you, the atmosphere in the house is a whole lot different. You see, we are not supposed to make the church more like the world. We are supposed to separate ourselves from the things that are not holy in the world, or the things that are distracting in the world, so that we can seek God. Okay? We all have 168 hours in a week. I was extremely disheartened here a couple of weeks ago, because my daughter is getting married on the 13th of March, and I found out that daylight savings time is on March the 14th. That means at 2:00 in the morning, the day after she gets married, that the clocks jump forward. So not only do we have a very active schedule for that Saturday, we get an extra one less hour of sleep that night. And it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. It's my least favorite day of the year. I dislike daylight savings time, where we lose an hour of sleep. I dislike that day more than tax filing day. I dislike it more than having to go to the dentist or having to go to the doctor or any of that. I mean, it is my least favorite day out of the year. So anyway, that's just a little personal revelation there. We need to seek God. And so I want to ask you to look at the things in your life. We are not only supposed to lay aside the sin, but we are also supposed to lay aside the weight of the things that so easily beset us. Okay? Let me see if I can find that verse real quick here for you. You might have something in your life. It's not moral, it's not immoral, it may be amoral, it may be neutral. There may be nothing spiritually wrong with it at all, other than the fact it just distracts you from the things that are the most important to God. Okay? So in Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse number 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it says there that there is not only the sin which ensnares us, but there is also things that are just weight. They are a burden. They slow us down. I remember when I was in high school that it had not been long that they had discovered that you could make a difference in a distance runner or a sprinter's time by making their shoes lighter. And that was interesting. So I do know that if you were to go into boot camp, that they will load you down with all of the gear that you may have to carry. And if I remember right, I think it weighed somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 pounds. And then they would say, okay, we're going to now hike, I believe it was 19 or 20 miles. And it is so taxing. I remember when God asked me to prayer walk. Let me rephrase that. I remember when God told me to prayer walk Merritt Island. And so I did. I learned things about Merritt Island that I didn't know before. And I walked a 12-mile stretch one day. And it was exhausting. And I was younger. And it wasn't that hot. There was just no place to fill up a water bottle or anything where I started from. And later on, when I was getting close to finishing, I did a 19-mile stretch. But I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't do that saying, I wonder how much extra weight that I could carry around with this. You and I, we've got to realize that if the enemy cannot get us to embrace ungodly activity in our life, he will simply try to distract us from our purpose of seeking God. Okay? I hope that as we've gone through this, you realize that seeking God is not optional. It is a mandate. It is something that it was mandated in the Old Testament. It's something that's mandated in the New Testament. We are supposed to seek and keep on seeking, that we will find and keep on finding. So it says here in Ezra chapter 6, verse number 22, it said, and they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God and the God of Israel. So I will tell you this. The enemy thinks that if you will be welcoming or tolerant of these distractions that he wants to offer you, that you're going to experience happiness. But you've got to remember that he is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And what he is trying to do is rob you of the joy that is available when you seek God and you find him. It says here that God was the one that made them joyful. Okay? So Wall Street or the New York City marketers, they're trying to tell you that if you wear this brand of clothing, that you are going to be happier than you've ever been before in your life. If you drink this alcoholic beverage, that you're going to be happier. It's all a bunch of lies. Just as soon as you become exactly like Wall Street wants you to become, then they're going to change the standard because they don't want you to be just like them. They want you to think that you need to be just like them. And so that's why you see crazy fashions and crazy hairstyles and other practices that are going on, is they're doing the old carrot on the stick and the bait and switch routine. They promise you joy, but literally you are just being led around as a source of entertainment for them. Where if you seek God, you will discover that God is not going to make you miserable, which is what the devil wants to try and get you to believe, but instead he's going to give you joy. And it says, not only did he make them joyful, but he turned the heart of the king of Assyria towards them, and their hands were strengthened to accomplish the task of building the house of God. Seeking God is never going to make you weaker. It is always going to make you stronger. Okay? Seeking God is not going to make you more legalistic. Seeking God is going to make you increase in God's love. I heard a person one time, and they said something along this lines, and they said, you don't ever want to seek God too much. You just want to seek him just a little bit, you know, just enough. And I was like, you know, that's not very good advice. And I will tell you this. Anytime that God says, if you will separate yourselves from the things that are contaminating you spiritually, or distracting you spiritually, or devastating you financially, or ruining your relationships, anytime he says, if you will put those things aside so that you can seek me, you're going to find that God has something a whole lot better for you. Okay? I will tell you this. God is looking for a people who will seek him more than just an hour a week. You and I, we need to seek him on a daily basis. And I will tell you, it's right here in the Old Testament. You know, that part of the Bible that people, you know, don't really like to read all that much. It says that when we separate ourselves from the spiritually filthy things this world has to offer, and we start seeking God, God will make you joyful, and he's going to make you stronger. I don't know about you, but this Wednesday, a lot of joy and a lot of strength sounds like a very desirable outcome for me, and I hope it does for you as well. So we are going to pray for you that you have a blessed day, that God will order your steps and direct your paths, and that he will lay his finger on things in your life that will enable you to seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Remember, seek him and keep on seeking, because he wants you to find him and keep on finding. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.